We are on a journey through Lent, and we are reflecting, thanks to Henry Nouwen's words, how all of our life is in one sense a journey toward God. It is the journey in one sense that the prodigal son makes as he journeys home, where he can once again be with his father and share everything that his father has. It is another sense the journey that the older son makes, or is invited to make at any rate, to understand that he is home and has everything to share with his father. Lent is a time when we fast. We fast in order to learn that it is not only by bread that we live. Jesus said, "I have food that you do not know of. My food is to do the work of the one who sent me." And we take that as metaphor. And yet, that has not always been the teaching of the church. But rather, as the fathers taught, our very bodies rely on our spiritual health. And so when we are nurtured spiritually, that is of benefit to our bodies. And we sense that. We talk about energy that we have. And we understand that some days we feel a little bit more energetic and others we don't. And that doesn't always have much correlation to do with whether or not we've eaten. We understand that there is a connection between our spiritual health and our physical health. That when we are serving God and drawing closer to God, we have food that others do not know of. But while we are on this journey, it is important to stay hydrated. It's easy to run out of water. We've been on several trips, and you'd think I would learn, I'm going to blame Heather. Why am I always taking the blame for things? It's my wife's fault. We never bring enough water, especially with children. We were cycling last summer, and the temperature was hovering around 40 degrees, and we had cycled about 50 kilometers, and we had a map showing us the stages of the trip, and that there are these points where you could refill your water bottles. We had 5 liters with us, and we were diligently filling them up until we got to this stretch where there was a long gap between villages. And we got to the one, and there was no water available, and we were running out. And we ended up just knocking on different doors. Finally, at the city hall, it was a Sunday, there was someone there, and they let us fill up. Boy, it was a nervous thought that we would have probably survived, but we would have been in rough shape for sure. When you're thirsty and you can't find water, it can be deadly. We're told our bodies, I mean, in popular conversations, we say something like, 50, 60, 70, 80% water. I think I've heard 90. I mean, at some point, we can't be that much water. But 50 to 60% we're made up of water, as if there was a well inside of us. And we understand that if we deplete that well, if it gets used up, we begin to wear out. We begin to fail. And eventually we just can't go on. Now this is the physical thirst. But it is also as if within us is a spiritual well of water that is equally essential for our life and for our energy. It's this well that everyone has inside that they draw on. It's the well out of which we draw on in order just to carry on sometimes. Things are not going well and we just need to carry on, and that takes everything we have, even just to get up. There is a well we draw on out of which we love. We love God. There is a well within us that we draw on in order to love others. And sometimes it feels, and perhaps it is, as if that well goes dry. We are in danger of beginning to fail spiritually. We are struggling to carry on in our faith. We are struggling to find the means to love God, to love others. It is perhaps easiest to recognize the signs of physical thirst. Our lips get hard and dry. Our mouths get hard and dry. We begin to feel tired. Maybe you develop a headache. Equally, there are spiritual signs of thirst. Life begins to feel flat and dry. Books or music, scripture and fellowship that once seemed so lively doesn't touch in the same way. You're not able to engage. When it comes to life, you feel worn out and empty, and you may even experience physical pain, heartache. In both of these situations, what's hardest is to have compassion on others. We become hard-hearted, unwilling to consider what God's purpose is in all of this, unwilling to listen to God and to seek after God. We become hard-hearted towards other people. We begin to say things like, everything I have, I've earned myself. What's wrong with these other people? Why don't they carry on with life? I don't have time to help people. I need to look after myself first. Physically, our body hardens when we don't have water. And spiritually, it's our hearts that harden. In the stories that we read this morning, or we didn't read them, Esther read for us this morning, we had stories of people interacting with God in the midst of their thirst. And the stories go back and forth between both this physical thirst and the spiritual thirst. The people of God were journeying through a desert. No kidding, they were thirsty. 30 to 40 degrees, hot weather, dry wind, and no water. The law, the Psalms, and the prophets, though, say that there was also a dry point spiritually for the people. Their hearts were hardened. They rebelled against God. They rebelled against Moses, and they quarreled with each other. As we heard from the Psalms, they hardened their hearts. Now maybe we want to say, no kidding. Can you blame them? They were thirsty. How many times had they been thirsty already? How many times did they have to put up with this? Why couldn't their journey end? Why couldn't the water just be there? Why did they have to constantly look for it and wait for it? Why did it have to get to this point where they were so thirsty? Maybe it would be better just to go back. We tend, perhaps out of compassion, to soften the responsibility of people in the midst of trials and hardships. It's only understandable that you would let your heart would be hardened in this moment. But at the same time, don't we also gently and cautiously, when we seem like we can, we make a suggestion when someone is suffering about good responses to their suffering, to their grief, to their sadness, and to depression? If we think there's an opportunity to say, I know you want to respond in this way, but this way will lead to life and health. God's people, we might want to say, had a choice. They had, after all, been led by God by a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. They had seen the waters part. They had walked through on dry ground. They had watched Egypt's army be annihilated. They had been provided with food and water all along. In this moment, why couldn't they have just held on just a bit longer and trusted that of course God would provide water for them? But they hardened their hearts. The woman at the well who came, who met Jesus, or who was met by Jesus, came presumably because she also was thirsty, and perhaps she was drawing water for others who were thirsty. But Jesus said these words to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." As we read all of this encounter that the woman has with Jesus, it's hard to really pinpoint what it was that Jesus said that so transformed her. These simple words that he said, and yet she responds by heading straight back to her village and saying, "Come and meet this man." And while she's doing this, let's take a moment and look back at the well. And what do we see there beside Jesus in the well? It's the bucket. She's left it behind. And presumably, John points this out as if to underline that she was no longer thirsty. Being with Jesus and listening to Jesus had filled her, had quenched her thirst in a way that's hard for anyone, John or otherwise, to explain. Instead, you have to become like the villagers who came for themselves to meet Jesus and said, "Now it is not only because of your words, but we have met Jesus. We understand now. He has met our thirst." Our life is a journey towards God. We will pass through deserts. I know many of you are passing through deserts now. And our hearts can become hardened towards God, towards others. Jesus stood up at a festival later and said, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me. And let the one who believes in me drink. And as the scriptures have said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." It is not just for our sakes that we renew ourselves by coming to Jesus in prayer, by opening the scriptures, by coming to church. It is so that we might share this water with others and be a blessing to them. Paul put it a different way. We know that our suffering produces endurance. Our endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit given to us. Physical thirst is, as I said, easy to recognize and easy to address throughout the day in Regina. Who doesn't ever find themselves but within a few steps of a tap or a store where you could buy something to drink? You imagine someone saying, "I'm thirsty, it's hopeless," and they just throw themselves on a couch and say, "I guess I'm going to die. What can I do? I don't have anything to drink with me." And this is obviously absurd. You would say, like, you could take four steps. I'm trying not to throw my sons under the bus here, but at any rate, you could take four steps and the kitchen is right there. You could help yourself. No, everybody knows what to do in those moments. But when it comes to spiritual thirst, when it comes to being aware that we are entering a period of dryness or emptiness, it seems that we are more likely to just thirst and do nothing about it. There is a vicious cycle when we are becoming hardened. We are lacking the energy to do the very things that we know we need to do. We ought to go see someone that we know loves us. We ought to pause and to pray and to open up our hearts. We ought to open up scripture. We ought to go to church. We ought to find ways to serve someone else. And yet, it just seems like it's too much. Or perhaps even bitterness and cynicism set in. And we refuse to do any of those things. After all, everything we've done for God, after all we've done, and now we're facing this again. We also have this habit of finding substitutes for meeting our thirst. As we heard from the prophet Jeremiah, instead of going to God for the water, we have dug our own cisterns, stagnant water, stale water that are leaky. We look at short-term pleasure to help get us through the moments. Or we fill our times to distract ourselves with work and entertainment. Or perhaps we just seek oblivion, something that will help us forget and not know what's going on. Or perhaps we nurture anger. Our anger is directed at the government or society or an employer or a friend. It's all their fault. Let's go back to the physical first for a moment, because maybe it actually isn't so obvious and easy to meet our thirst, our physical thirst. When I had kidney stones, I was challenged to, maybe you should be drinking more water. And I thought, I drink plenty of water. And they said, what about 2 to 3 liters a day? That's a lot of water. I had no idea until I started trying to drink 2 to 3 liters. There was no way I was ever drinking enough water before finding out the hard way that it was important. There's no excuses for not drinking that much water and that much fluid. We're surrounded with options. But I wonder how many of us are doing that every day. John, he's a new evangelist for this. He's sold. He's got a new bounce in his step, and he's enjoying himself at Bell's, and he said, it's all about drinking more water, I think. It seems to be working for me. Perhaps, though, we just are satisfied with a sip from a fountain, a cup of coffee, something with lunch or supper, just a sip here or there. And we know what we ought to do, but we struggle to do it. And if everything's going all right, it's not a problem. But if you hit a desert with that attitude, you're going to be in trouble quickly. And it's the same with spiritual thirst. We are surrounded by God's grace with options to meet our thirst. Jesus calls us, walks with us, and is there to quench our thirst. But often our habit is to be satisfied with a sip here and there. Now, it's one thing to do that and to get through life in your faith when all things are going well. But when we hit a desert in our faith, it can kill our spiritual life, our faith, our hope, and our love for others. What do we do when we're dry? Here in this province, especially if you garden, you've had a lot of experience with dry ground. After a couple weeks of no rain and heat, the ground here becomes hard as concrete. Those cracks open up. I don't know if you've ever watched what happens when you pour water onto that hard, hard, dry ground, right in the midst of a downpour, or if you turn the sprinklers on heavy. What happens to that water? It just shoots off of the soil to either side. The same thing happens with plants in a pot. I worked in a garden center, and every once in a while, the pot would get missed, and the plant would completely dry out. And if you poured water on that pot, that first little bit of water, it just pours off the side and runs off, and the plant inside remains dry. If we are in a desert, if we are dry ground spiritually, what we need is the hardest thing to do, but it's what we need. It's a long, slow, soaking rain. The first bit of water that comes down, it just runs off. We need to soak in it. The water needs to come down and down and down until slowly it begins to penetrate. It takes hours. And eventually the soil has water in itself. Whether we are in good times or bad times, we need to develop habits of drinking 2 liters of spiritual water daily. That way we'll be ready when the hard times come. And when they come, we need it more. We need to soak in Jesus' presence more. Reading the Psalms daily. Reading Jesus' words in the Gospel daily. Coming to Jesus in the hardest times, and just opening up our hands and doing our best to try and find the words to express what's going on. Saying anything bluntly to God until you find the right words. And then waiting and listening longer. Set a timer if you've never sat for long in prayer and you're not sure what to do. Make sure to come to church in those times. Don't avoid people just because you're not able to say things are going great. Is there a good book that once fed you spiritually? Read it again. Is there a friend that you know loves you, who has built you up before? Ask them for coffee. Some of you will know Roberta Richmond. Ron and Roberta have been part of this church and Argyle Road Baptist Church for many, many decades. You'll know how over the years they have had a long road with their family, their children and grandchildren, and have given their life over to caring for them. In fact, through their family, they have reached out and cared for many others in the neighborhood and in our city. Perhaps you heard Ron speaking to City Council last December, pleading with them to have compassion. Through their significant challenges in life, as they enter their 80s, they are still working away, hoping and praying, laboring. It's as if Ron and Roberta have a secret spring within themselves. The other day, I heard this story from someone else, so this wasn't Roberta blowing her own horn. Roberta was gone off to help her family again. And as she was driving past a bus stop, she saw a woman, an elderly woman, sitting there with large garbage bags, presumably full of recycling. She went and helped, poured herself out, and presumably tired and hoping for a nap, as I hear many of us enjoy as we get older. She came by that bus stop and noticed it had been a long time. The woman was still there. So she checked in her heart and thought, I'll stop. And she said to the woman, are you waiting for a bus? And the woman said, the bus has come by already. It didn't even slow down for me. Maybe they thought I was just resting or warming up. Perhaps it was a bus driver whose heart was hard and hardened. The woman did look rough. But Roberta said, where are you headed? Well, I was hoping to go to Sarkhan and then home. Roberta said, I can take you here. And they loaded up everything, got in the car. It was a cold day. The woman was fortunate that Roberta came by. As they got talking, it turned out this was a grandmother. And they had lots in common. His grandmother spent all of her time caring for her grandchildren as well. And she used the money from the recycling to help make ends meet for her family. They spent the time together. Roberta took her and drove her home. The woman prayed for Roberta and thanks. Two women who have not hardened their hearts, but thanks to knowing Jesus, have a well springing up within them. And in one day, their true glory will be revealed. Let us not harden our hearts, but let us use the many means of grace that we know about, that are available to us, to spend time with Jesus, to find our thirst met, so that we can, like others we know, go out and serve and share this life-giving water. And to God be the glory, now and forever. Amen.